Y'all doing okay? You enjoying this crazy weather? Hot one day, cold the next. But that's expected. I'm starting a new series. Some of y'all noticed. A lot of people have preached on it. The Believer's Authority. I think that's just something that just always stirs my heart to do year after year. If you got your Bibles, open up to 1 Peter 5. This is the New Living Translation. It says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. Who's our enemy? Okay. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Satan is watching the children of God. He's watching you, seeking whom he may devour. Now, he's not after the weak. After all, Lucifer tried to overthrow God, did he not? He didn't go after weak. God ain't weak. See, the sin of pride will get you to the place to where you'll go after people who you believe are better than you, stronger than you. Satan tried to overthrow God's kingdom. He tried to exalt his kingdom. He doesn't go after weak people. And sometimes we read the scripture, and I even done it myself and said, well, he's after the weakling. He's after that weak Christian, that new baby Christian. He's not after them. He's after the one that's actually placed their trust in him. He's after the one that knows how to use their authority. He's after the one that knows how to get results. He's after those so that he can break them down. He's not after the broke, busted up, and disgusted. The one that's constantly depressed. Because, I mean, it's just like a revolving door. He can just come in, work this, work that angle, work that angle. Oh, you see, he's trying to get up right now. I'll just hit him again. He's after those who are strong in the Lord. He's not after the weak. Remember in the book of Job, Satan was watching everything that was going on. He was watching him. He was watching Job. You got Job. Put that on, please. Job 1, it says, one day the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser, Satan, came with them. Where have you come from? The Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. Then the Lord asked Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. Job wasn't an easy target, but you know what, Job, we know when we read in Job, it was the things that Job said that gave him an inroad into his life. Teach me and I will hold my tongue. And see, and that's one of the biggest things that people will get upset over because they don't realize that their tongue is what gives the enemy an inroad into your life. See, we don't say what we want to see. We don't say what we see. We say what we want to see. We speak that word over ourselves. Every single day. Man, my back is hurting. No, Lord, I thank you that my back is healed by your stripes. We say what we want to see because that's what Jesus has done for us. Now, we live in a society, we live in this great nation. I'm telling you, we got the best doctors ever. But you know, the gospel doesn't ever change. His word never changes, but yet the gospel will change. Well, we don't necessarily need the healing stuff because we got great doctors. We got all this medicine. Well, you can't take that to a third world country. Come on. You got to preach the same stuff. He doesn't try to attack weak believers. He goes after the strong because he's full of pride. He's full of pride. Scripture says we wrestle not against who? Flesh and blood. I know y'all heard me say some certain times where I wanted to throat punch people or what have you. I say, and the thing is, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, I got a little confession. A couple years ago, I was on my way there. Driving down the interstate. I was going to pull him out of his office. And I knew the combination I was going to throw. And I had to repent. Had to get back on that ramp, go over that bridge, and come on back to Hayes. I was headed eastbound. because I was about to knock somebody out. But scripture says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The flesh is not what we're after. See, the enemy will use people to attack you. The enemy will use people to say certain things at you. The enemy will use people to make fun of you. The enemy will use people to persecute you. That's not your fight. That's not your fight. Why? Because when we're doing that type of stuff, we don't realize that we're in pride. Anybody who chooses to plot against other people, you're in pride. Because you're trying to take down not weak people, strong people. Those who are strong in the Lord. In Ephesians. No, I'm not going to go there yet. Not just yet. Unfortunately, you have people who will prey on you. Here's the thing. I said, when we talk about racism, people don't like others talking about racism in the church and stuff like that. Well, we don't. It's just operating in the spirit of hatred. If you're to the place, it's 2024. If you're to the place to where you don't like the color of somebody's skin, grow up. 2024, you still got problems. It's not about you. And the reason why people have to hide behind others, please, white pastors out there, those who have got less melanin than I do, here's the thing. Never hide behind people when you're talking about it. That gets old. Because what we see is you're just hiding behind them. Well, I can't be racist because I got a black friend. I can't be racist because my two daughter-in-laws are white. I got two daughter-in-laws. I can't be racist because my wife is white. You know, but if I'm behind the scenes cracking jokes and saying certain things and then that comes up and then I got to hide behind somebody because somebody called me out, that becomes a problem. So we're not going to hide behind that. I'm not going to use that as an excuse. Well, I can't be racist. My son-in-laws are black. Your daughters married those guys. You didn't. Your son married that woman. You didn't. People get upset with it. I say, if you're racist, go ahead and be racist. God can heal your heart. You don't have to hide it. Again, it's 2024. People, this gets quiet here. I'm over that. I said, why? All it is just hatred. It's just a spirit of hatred. And you may have been taught that way. That's why we train them up in the way they should go, not in the way you want them to go. If you're racist, even in this church, I still love you. See, don't even use that either. Here's the thing. Well, I can't be racist. My pastor's black. Don't use that. Because the reason why you have to hide behind me is because you may have been saying some stuff that people called you out on, or that conviction might be in your heart. See, our community, our church should be just like our community. How our community looks, that's how your church should look. And Jesus says, my house, after he drove them out of the temple, when he's driving them out of the temple, my house will be a house of prayer for many nations. And we've got multiple nations here in this church and in other churches within this community. Thankful for that. So you don't have to get upset if people are racist, what have you. Again, it's 2024. Just tell them to grow up. We're going to love you. But grow up. That shouldn't be an issue with other people. And if you're doing things in order to try to break people's marriages up, that becomes a problem. Then some people are okay with blacks marrying within their race, but they might be a little iffy when it comes to interracial. And then that's what they don't like, because you're intermixing. Just pray for them. Pray for them. They're ignorant. Just pray for them. You don't have to agree with them. Just pray for them. Don't matter what the title is. We shouldn't be going off of titles anyway. I'm not about my title. You know, if you desire to have a title, you're not really fit for that position. Ooh, quiet. Nah. But see, I like this church because y'all never showed that to me. You loved on my kids. You loved on me. You loved on my family. My mom comes. Oh, she loves Belinda. She loves Belinda. Oh, that little redhead lady, man, she's she's awesome. She's just awesome. She's a good woman. She's a good spiritual lady. So Ephesians 6, let's go there. It says this is the Passion Translation. Do you have that in that translation? This is the PEV. I'm going to read the Passion Translations in Ephesians 6 because I like it. It says, and then I'm going to go to this one here. So just stay on that, on Ephesians 10 right there, if you would, Carrie. It says this, now my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last, but be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. It says, stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are powerful. They are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides so you're protected as you confront the slanderer. For you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Put on the truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Put on holiness as the protective armor that covers your heart. Stand on your feet alert. Then you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace. In every battle, take faith as your wrapped around shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance, like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. Take the mighty razor sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. Pray passionately in the spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. Pray the blessing of God upon all his believers. It says, stand victorious. There's people that may have a deliverance ministry. I don't know why they have a deliverance ministry and why they call it that. It's just the gospel. Jesus went about doing good works. It was for this purpose that he was manifested, that the Son of Man may destroy the works of the devil. He didn't call it a deliverance ministry. I said, but people are being delivered. You're being delivered from demon possession. You're being delivered from these things. But here's the thing. We never, ever build the church off of gifts. It's off the word of God. PV, the last thing I want to say to you is this. You are joined to our leader, Jesus, and he is very strong. So you have to use your power, his power, his strong power to fight against the devil, the boss over the bad spirits. You know that a soldier puts on special gear to stop the enemy from hurting him. Well, you have to do that with special gear that God gives us. Then you will keep strong against the devil and you will not let him trick you. He tries all sorts of clever ways to fight against us. You see, we are not fighting against people, but we are fighting against a mob of bad spirits. We are fighting against the bad spirit bosses that we can't see in this bad world, and we are fighting against the powerful bad spirits that live above the earth too. See, here's the thing. So you have to use all the special gear that God gives you. You can't go out on your own. That's not going to work. You can't use your own power. That's not going to work. You got to go out with special gear that God gives you so that you can stand up to those bad spirits whenever they come at you, and they will not win. So how is it that you see some Christians looking like they just lost? They ain't got the full armor of God. They're not using the gear that God had given them. They're not using the power that God had given them. And at the end of the fight, you will be standing what? Strong. So put on that special gear from God so you can stand up against the devil. This is what that gear is. You know that a soldier wears a belt to hold his clothes on tight so he can move quickly in a fight. Well, just like that, you take notice of what is true so you can fight better against the devil. And a soldier wears an iron plate to stop the enemy from hitting his chest. Well, you have to always do what is right, and that will be like an iron plate for you to stop the devil from hitting you. And a soldier wears special shoes so that he can always be ready to fight. Well, you have to remember the good news about Jesus, that he makes us God's friends. Then you will be ready to fight the devil. You know that a soldier always has a shield to stop the spears that the enemy throws at him. In the same way, you have to always trust in people. Trust in God. Whenever you do that, it is like you are holding up a shield that stops the things that the devil throws at you. They are like burning spears, but if you trust God, he will stop them and put them out. And a soldier wears on an iron hat that stops the enemy from hurting his head. Well, you remember that God has saved you. That will be like an iron hat for you to keep you safe. And you know the long knife a soldier has, called a sword, he uses it to fight back against his enemy. Well, in the same way, you can use God's word to fight back against the devil, and the Holy Spirit will help you. And always pray in the way that God's Spirit leads you. Pray about every problem, pray in all sorts of ways, and ask God for whatever you need. So always keep on praying for God's people. You trust in the Lord, not man. Scripture actually says, curse is the man who put their trust in man. I believe that's in Jeremiah. Now, that doesn't mean I say, oh, I trust Dean to run this, the sound and stuff and do all that stuff. I say, I don't have to worry about him. Why? Because he's sound with it. But I guarantee you, I said, Dean, how many hours, if you don't mind asking you this, how many hours did you have to fly in order to get your license and stuff and pilot license when you had it? Yeah. 45 hours? See, if a person came up to me, and the thing is, we're supposed to walk in love, and said, man, hey, I got something for you. Man, I work for a billionaire, and he's got this Learjet, and he said, I can take you and your family anywhere. Expenses paid, all that. Flight free. Of course, you're going to say, well, what's the catch? Well, I don't have any license. I don't have my pilot license. I don't have any hours. Now, here's the thing. That sounds great, but at the same time, I'm not going to trust him to fly me and my family. I love you, but I don't trust you. Go ahead and get your license, put your hours in, make a few hundred flights, and then we'll talk. You don't have to trust everyone, I said. And the thing about it is that the enemy is so slick and so deceiving and so sneaky that he'll try to get other people to get you to trust them when they know they've already done some jacked up stuff to you. Because he'll use people. It's his power, it's God's power that you're using. When you put on that armor, it's his armor, it's his gear. We've got this. And again, that spiritual battle will always be in our minds. That's the devil's playground. Man, we can talk ourselves out of a raise. We can talk ourselves out of relationship. We can talk ourselves out of deliverance. We can talk ourselves out of healing. We can talk ourselves out of God's prosperity for our lives. Why? They plant. Peter said, such as I have, I give you. And the only reason why he can say that was because he had legal right to say it. And so do you. If you've given your life to Jesus, you have legal right to use the name of Jesus. In Mark 16, this is the New Living Translation. This is Jesus giving the Great Commission. He says, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who what? Those who what? Those who what? They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new tongues. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and they will drink any, and if they drink anything poison, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached. And the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. See, the church has gotten to the place to where, hey, we'll preach the good news. We will baptize. But all those miraculous signs, we don't necessarily need anymore. Why? Because we live in this great nation. You can't take that to another country. It doesn't change. And then there are those who will build their ministry on the gifts, but they don't preach the good news, and they don't baptize. They're chasing after the signs and wonders for fame. That's wrong too. The disciples went everywhere and preached, and Jesus, well, we preach the God, we preach the infallible word of God. If your church is really claiming that and there ain't no miracles, you ain't preaching nothing. You can't even break wind. If there's no signs and wonders following what you're preaching, you're not preaching nothing. Years ago, I had a gentleman talk. We were talking, kind of debating and stuff, and he goes, well, that's not for everybody. I said, no. I said, well, those signs and wonders won't follow everybody. I said, no. I said, you're right, it won't, but you have to believe. See, there's a catch. The key word is believe. If you don't believe, it won't follow. That's what brought people to Jesus. Not just his word and how he dealt with people with the loving kindness, but the miracles, the signs, the wonders. And we got to get back to that. And I believe God is getting us back to that. So bring the sick. Bring the lame. And let them sit and listen. Or better yet, you can do it yourself. Why? Because if you believe, when you preach, you baptize, and you believe, those signs and wonders will follow you. Excuse me. If you can truly get a revelation of his word and understand your identity in Christ, your identity is not in your family. Your identity is not in your friends. Your identity is not in your career and your job. Your identity is in Christ. Because what happens when you lose all of that? What do you have left? You know, Jesus will always be there after you lose everything else. You're never alone. You're never alone. You will be able to impact a lot of lives no matter where you're at in your age. Well, I'm just too old for that. What? Moses was 80 when he started. You're young. You haven't even started yet. And he was still climbing mountains at the age of 120. Spotting dimes everywhere, man. I'm just... Eagle eyes, man. Good eyes. Good eyesight. And that's the old covenant. And we got something so much better. But when we play in the part in what society is saying, man, I got to be old. I'm 48. I don't have to look 48. Black don't crack. Tell my wife I was going to start dying all this. And, you know, if I die, it'll just probably be running all over the place and stuff. I better not do that. You need to shave it because you need to look your age. That's wisdom. I got the small cul-de-sac going on right here. Gotta shave it. Age is nothing but a number. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. In Job chapter 32, this is the message, if you got the message. He says, this is what Elihu, son of Barakel, said. Barakel, the Buzite, said, I'm a young man, and you are all old and inexperienced. That's why I kept quiet and held back from joining the discussion. He says, I kept thinking experience will tell. The longer you live, the wiser you become. But I see I was wrong. It's God's spirit in a person, the breath of the Almighty One that makes wise human insight possible. The experts have no corner on wisdom. Getting old doesn't guarantee good sense. So I've decided to speak up. Listen well. I'm going to tell you exactly what I think. I said, I understand. Oh, people are older. Man, I said, wait, listen. You still got the Spirit of God in you. And if you're speaking by the Spirit of God, it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. It's the breath of the Almighty that lives in you. We speak by that. The experts don't have a corner on wisdom. I love that. How many times they've been wrong? The miracles will follow if you believe. And sometimes we allow certain scriptures that will paralyze us, keep us in the fear. Many in that day will say, Lord, Lord, did we not? Did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not speak in new tongues? Did we not perform miraculous signs and wonders? And Jesus says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. You who work lawlessness. They weren't doing what Jesus told them. There was a pastor who was just struggling with this years ago. Good man of God. If I mention his name, you know him in a heartbeat. But just a great man of God, just has a tender heart, a lot tenderer than mine. And he was just struggling with that scripture in Matthew 7. He says, Lord, how can you turn them away? And then he finally got an answer. He goes, they lied about it. They were saying they were speaking in new tongues. They were prophesying. They were performing many miraculous signs, but they were lying. I'm seeing another part where Jesus says, depart from me, for I never knew you. It's one thing to know Jesus, but it's another thing to really, really know him intimately. You can know about Jesus. People can know about you, but they don't really know you because they got to spend time with you to know you. And if you're just collecting data here and there and everywhere, which way, you don't really know a person. You know, when I walk into certain department stores, they don't really know me. And you know, people don't understand about black privilege. You know, black privilege is a real thing, right? When I walk into a store, I get service like no other because they be watching me everywhere I go. They are ready to help me. So nice about it. Now, that was years ago. They don't do that here now. But you understand what I'm saying. It's the other side. I said, so we can get upset with that. They just follow me all around. White people don't get that stuff. They leave them alone. They let them shop. No, they come to me firsthand. Cameras all on me and stuff. They're making sure that I'm helped and I get what I want. They don't know. I said, black privilege is a beautiful thing. That's the favor of God. It says many in that day will say, Lord, Lord, they never had legal right to use Jesus' name because they didn't belong to him. In Acts 19, some of you know this scripture. This passage, it says a group of Jews was traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits. They tried to use the name of Jesus in their incantations, saying, I command you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. But one time when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, I know Jesus, I know Paul, but who are you? Then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered. They didn't have authority to use. But see, here's the thing. That was a deliverance ministry. They didn't belong to Jesus. They never received him as Lord and Savior. They weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. They weren't baptized. They weren't there in Jerusalem in order to receive that. They didn't receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit where they were at, but they were doing it and they were having success if they're going to town. So people can do this. People can cast out demons. People can do exorcisms and things of that nature. I said, but it wasn't from Jesus. Depart from me, for I never, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. But who are you? If you have a relationship with Jesus, you have legal right. See, God's favor ain't fair on you. When we stand victorious, it's because of what Jesus had done for us. So we don't ever have to come back here feeling broke, busted up, and disgusted because we couldn't get any results in our lives. If you can remember, we wrestle not against what? People aren't your problem. Demons will work through other people in order to get at you. You're God's chosen people. And chosen people, they get a lot of pushback. Chosen people, they will be isolated. See, and even when I talked about with that caterpillar in the cocoon, self-isolated, but they're isolated from all the elements of the world. So the wind, the storms can't stop that transformation that takes place. So it can get pretty rowdy, but it won't ever stop that transformation. So it doesn't matter what's going on in your life all around you. It can't stop the word of God from producing in your life. It won't ever, ever stop the transformation that takes place in your heart. Satan can't stop you. So what are you yielding to? What are you just constantly saying? Every once in a while, I would feel my lungs just kind of depleting a little bit. Doesn't have a right. Lungs straighten up in the name of Jesus. I walk upstairs, man, I was just getting up, start walking upstairs and stuff, and it's tough. Lungs straighten up in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that my lungs are healed. Why? Doesn't have a right. I'm submitted to you, Lord. I know what your word says. Doesn't have a right. Then I'll start just jogging around. I don't want to jog too much because everything will shake. They never had a personal relationship with Jesus. They never made him their Lord and Savior. And they got whooped. You will never, ever get whooped when you understand your identity is in Jesus. When you understand your authority is in him. He said, the gates of hell, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. He's giving you the keys to the kingdom. Jesus made it very, very clear and made it very easy for us to be able to take these truths and apply them in our life, and the Satan will not be able to stop it. What stops it? This right here, and what we choose to speak out. He's walking to and fro throughout the earth. Job said, the thing that I fear most has come upon me. That's how he gave him an inroad. His mouth. The enemy will get an inroad into your life through your mouth. Even when you're just talking, You could be there with nobody there. It could just be you. You could be with people. Listen, superior minds, I say, average minds will talk about people, discuss people. Small minds, sorry, will discuss people. Average minds will discuss events. Great minds will discuss ideas. Superior minds will bring those ideas to pass. Collaborate. Time to level up. Because you can't keep talking about the same old person. They did this week. They did that week, what have you. You can't keep doing that. And the thing is, you're staying at the same place. It's like you're stuck over and over and over again. God, I bless you. Why? Because that's a demon in them. Or that could just be their flesh. But the reality of it is, it has no bearing on you. I don't care if so-and-so's racist. It doesn't affect me none until you try to come up into my life. Then I'm out to pray for you. After I pick you up from the ground. No, I'm sorry. No, just, Lord, help me. Come on. But if you give the enemy an inroad into your life, through your sin, he can beat you down. Yep, God will love you. God's grace and mercy is new every single day. But you know what? The Lord is saying, I gave you the keys. You loose that in your life. And if you loose it on earth, it will be loosed in heaven. But if you bind it on earth, it will be bound in heaven. So what's going on in your life that you're just frustrated with? Have you loosed it with your tongue? See? But the great thing is, whatever you loose, you can bind. Same thing, but with faith. You may have loosed it with fear, but you can bind it with faith. That's the beauty of it. Whatever you messed up, you fess up, you move on. Because that's what his grace is about. You being able to finish your race. Y'all get that kind of privileged treatment too sometimes, huh? See, you're privileged. That's a blessing. But you know what? You got some of the most tender hearts I've ever seen in my life. Yes, you, sir. And I like your honesty. So does God. Hallelujah. A beautiful family. A blessed family. Because of a blessed man and woman. And he can't be that way unless you were helping him. Women, here's the thing. If you want your husband to be the spiritual leader of your home, one thing you're going to have to understand, you're going to have to get down with young ones. The older ones already know this. But if you can't accept correction from a spiritual leader, you're going to struggle. Your marriage will struggle because a spiritual leader will correct certain things. Your husband is the spiritual leader of your home. And if you can't take that correction, it's always going to be, you're only going to be on a different page. But when you two come together, you make a powerful entity. You make a united front. Because it's God, the husband, the wife. But when Satan's involved, it would be Satan, the wife, the husband. And that's out of order. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Simple instructions. Just simplistic, I said, but sometimes we got to get our flesh out the way. because sometimes we want to take, I just want him to take charge. I want him to take charge. He needs to take charge. I said, who's that? Polly Ann Wigglesworth was going to a Bible study, what have you, and Smith wasn't. Smith Wigglesworth, y'all know Smith. I said, that man is a powerful man of God. Miraculous. I mean, this man kicked a baby off of stage, landed in the person's hand and healed. I think he had like water on the brain or something like that. That's some boldness there. He punted a baby. That's crazy. But he didn't want her to go. And she goes, well, I believe you're wrong, but I'm going to go anyway. He goes, well, if you go, the house is going to be locked up. You're not going to be able to come back in. And then she comes back. Sure enough, the house was locked. He was in bed. She slept out on the porch the whole night. Wakes up in the morning. The door's unlocked. She comes in and, whew, it was cold out there last night. What do you want for breakfast? See, she knew it was her right to go and listen to the word, but she also knew that she was supposed to submit, even when he was doing wrong. Powerful man of God. When you're constantly trying to get your way, fighting. But just that example of love and compassion that she showed towards him, he became one of the most powerful men, a general of faith. You don't realize how much you can change your husband's life when you stand by him. That's another level. So continue on, Dina. Continue on, Amber. You know, Dustin got some gift things on the inside of him. It's pretty bold. You're going to be up here one day. In the name of Jesus. Is there anyone here who is struggling with some any kind of ailments in their body right now? Anything, what you got going on right now? Because I'm not going to pray for you. I'm going to have you speak to that thing. Yourself and use that authority that Jesus has given you. Anybody struggling with anything? Headaches, migraines, not just headaches, migraines, back problems, athlete's feet. Why y'all laughing? That's a serious thing. Everybody good? Come on. Okay. This is what I want y'all to do for next week then. Bring people who are suffering. You know, at the, when somebody can bring the paralyzed and lay them on the ground on a mattress or a pad, just so that Peter's shadow will fall on them, so that they will be healed. That shows you the great faith that they were operating in because they believed it. See, we're not a church that don't believe in miracles. We're not a church that won't operate in his authority. We're not a church that won't speak the word of God. We're not a church that won't baptize. We're not a church that is shying away from the Holy Spirit. We're not that church. We're not that type of church. We're the children of God. How's your daughter doing? Huh? Come on. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Zaya, would you want to come up and finish this? Come on, come on. I told you you would do it, you would do it. He's going to pray. I'm getting out of here. I'll meet you out front. God bless you.
All right. I guess this is a new thing now because some of y'all be getting up out of here too fast. You can't catch up to y'all. So I guess I'll just be praying for y'all. So if y'all stand with me and bow your heads, please. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everyone that came here, Lord, and those that couldn't make it. We even thank you for them. Lord, we just ask that as we go through, as we start our week, we remember the authority that we are allowed to operate in because of you, Lord. And that no matter what problems we face or issues that arise, Lord, that we are confident and we know that it is done. And whatever it is, it will not come to pass, Lord. And we just thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, and your sacrifice over us. And Father God, we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, y'all. Be blessed. We'll see y'all next week. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.